And take your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. In the month of January here, we've been talking about our sense of community and how we want to grow together and to unite, but unite to communicate. That our community should have this unity, and a unity so that we can share that with other people and to communicate. And we've been looking at different aspects about the church here in this month of January and what it means, the nature of the church. We looked at the purpose of the church last week. We talked about developing upward, creating outward, and maturing outward, that's how we want to be able to relate and express what God has desired for us today. And this morning I want us now to kind of focus on the mission of this community. The mission of this community. Why are we here? Why are we joining together? Why are we making all the effort to be here, to be a body of believers, to commit to that? What is the whole reason and objective to what we're trying to do? This morning our mission is most clearly articulated by Christ Himself in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The passage known as the Great Commission. I want you to go therefore and make disciples. And to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here, as we are thinking about this mission this morning, I want us to have this idea of to sound it out. To sound it out. To have the opportunity to take this that God has given to us, this opportunity that's before us, and to let it out. Let it get out to those around us. And that's part of that Great Commission. That's part of that idea that Christ told us to do, to go make disciples. As you look at the Great Commission and as you look at that verse, you know, a lot of times people like to think that go is the command there, but go is not the command. The command is to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ. And as we said before, you know, the word disciple is used more throughout the New Testament than the word Christian. Because God wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be followers. And as we look at this mission, as we look at what we are trying to accomplish as this community, we want to make mature believe multipliers, right? Mature multipliers. Some of you you're getting it. I love it. All right? That is our goal. If we were to have a scoreboard up today and we wanted to understand what our score is going to be as we are fulfilling that Great Commission. Are we making disciples who are going to make disciples? You see, because if we're only concerned with just the here and the now, pretty soon the here and the now goes away. And then there's nothing left. Well, we need to have that mentality of making disciples. And as Paul told Timothy, I want you to teach these things to other faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's our goal to make mature multipliers, those that are willing to go and carry on the Great Commission. And as we think about this morning, I want you to think in the realm of sound. All right, and think about sound waves and frequencies. All right, some of you might not understand frequencies. I don't understand everything there is about frequencies, but I was looking this up. You know, a frequency in sound refers to the number of cycles per unit of time. As sound travels in a wave, all right, it has cycles. You know, if you hear a real low sound, you can feel the reverberations and you can feel the waves. The higher the sounds, you know, you don't hear that much of the waves because they're moving faster. All right, or you can think about like a high-pitched whistle. All right, you know, the way that ball kind of goes in the whistle and it just sends out. When you look at sound waves, you see a difference. And this morning, I want us to think about raising the frequency. Raising the frequency. Because as we sound it out, the frequency is going to revolve around the fact that our waves are going to get shorter, that our cycles are going to get shorter. And as we're trying to make disciples, we want it to get shorter. We want it to become more frequent. Because if we were to look at what the waves kind of diagrammed, or I put them up here on the screen for you to kind of look at the two different types of waves here. You know, you have the low frequency, the high frequency. The low frequency, of course, you see the crests and the valleys a little more spread apart. The high frequency, they're a lot closer together. And we, as we sound it out, we want to raise that frequency. We want to see more people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We want to see more people become disciples of Him. Not more people adherents to a religion. Not more people that are, checking off boxes. But more people that are following Jesus Christ. We want to raise that frequency this morning. Because if we are called to make disciples, we want to see that happen more frequently. So that means we need to sound it out. We need to sound that out. I want you to look with me here now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because here as Paul is beginning his letter to the Thessalonians, he is going to give us a pattern of what was happening in that church that caused them to sound it out. That caused them to get it out. So as we look here in chapter 1, let's begin in verse 2 and we'll read down through verse 10. It says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly, mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and our Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Here, Paul, as he's beginning this letter, he loves to remember and to give thanks for what God is doing there in the church of Thessalonica. He's remembering why he's thankful for them. We saw those different virtues, their work of faith, their labor of love, the steadfastness of their hope in the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4, he says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you." And he remembers in remembering their actions, he is saying, listen, because of that, we see an evidence of God's work in your heart. We see an evidence of what God has meant to you. We know that you are chosen. We know that you are a part of the elect. We know that God has changed you because we see this in your virtue. We see this in what you're doing. You see, Paul has a great way of always reassuring those that are going through persecutions of their position in God. Because regardless of what might be happening on the outside, our position in God does not change because of the effect and strength of God. And he is saying, I want you to remember, I can see because of your work, your labor, your steadfastness, that you are chosen, that God has you. And this position was evident by the work of the word and what it was happening in the Thessalonians. And as he's remembering this, then he goes on to talk about how this came about, how he sees this evident in the Thessalonians. And here is where I think we can see about how to sound it out. Because this gives us a great picture of what the Thessalonians did that we can apply to our lives today. We want to see how they raised the frequency in sounding it out. The first thing they did, and the first thing that we need to do, is to receive the word. Receive the word. Look at verse 5. He says, because our gospel came to you not in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You know, before something can spread from us, it must first be received by us. You ever tried to teach a concept that you didn't understand? You know, how does that go? It does not go well. All right, it does not go well. I remember being a substitute teacher for a while down in Junction and walking into some of those classes, and one day I subbed in high school, and I told myself I'd never do that again. And as I was sitting there, it was algebra, and I was having to go back to all the algebra classes that I had taken way back in high school. And, you know, I had taken all those math courses and calculus, and I had gotten college credit. And it's weird because as a preacher, you don't have to take a whole lot of math in college. So I didn't have to take math. I had it already taken care of in my high school college credits. And so I was sitting there looking at all these algebra questions, and these kids are coming up to me, and I'm just like a deer in headlights. I said, you know, that's a good question for your teacher tomorrow when she gets back. When we try to teach concepts that we haven't received, it's not going to go over well. Just like people that want to try to share the gospel that's not letting the gospel change them, it's not going to go over well. You see, before they sounded it out, they had to receive it. And Paul is showing some of the evidence of something that had changed the Thessalonians. He says there, you know, the gospel came to you not in word, but also in power. Now, when we look at this phrasing here, we got to understand that he's not saying that it's not a de-emphasis of the word. It's an emphasis of the word and these other things. Because you see, sharing the gospel cannot happen if we don't use words. My pastoral ministries professor would always kind of joke, you know, trying to spread the gospel without using words is like trying to feed the hungry and sometimes using food. You know, we need to use words to be able to get the gospel across. It came in word, but it had other things well. This is speaking of the effort for the gospel's sake. That because of the gospel and because of its life-transforming power, that we need to be able to apply the words to it and these other things, these other avenues that give us an opportunity to spread the gospel. This is where we can come into some very common grace type ideas, something to come alongside and provide maybe a service for somebody. You know, it gives us some of our avenues for outreach. You know, we tried to use a movie night here in a parking lot to give us an avenue. Hey, here's something free for families to come because, and we want to share with you what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, that's how we use different outreach opportunities so that we can use a service, that we can use something to be able to get in a chance to spread the gospel. When I was in Junction, we did a free car wash for the city. You know, Junction was a small town. And we did a free car wash for the city. And we got out at one of the national banks there, the First National Bank of Junction, and we were in the parking lot on a Saturday doing a car wash. You know what's amazing is people didn't understand doing something for free. Nobody really wanted us to do it for free. In fact, a couple of people drove off because we just wanted to wash their car for free so that we could talk to them about Jesus and the grace that he's afforded us. But you know what? That's an opportunity for us to be able to spread the word by using the words of the gospel and to use this these other means as well, because you notice what he says, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. He said, you have seen how the gospel has worked because you've seen the Holy Spirit's work. You saw what the Holy Spirit did. You saw the miracles. You saw the different mighty things that were happening. If you remember to the start of the Thessalonian church, Paul was not there very long. And yet something miraculous was happening. People were getting saved. This church was starting. This church was growing. And it was doing incredible things. And then persecution rose up. He said, you remember the power of the Spirit. You know, for us, that means we need to be a conduit for the Spirit to work. Not shutting off the Spirit. Not searing that opportunity. Not refusing to do what the Spirit's leading us to do. But to be a conduit. You ever had those opportunities and those times when all of a sudden you just feel, I need to talk to that person. You know what? I need to do this for somebody. You know, you're getting out of your car, walking into your house, and you see your neighbor out there. You know, I probably should talk to them. And the Spirit is prompting us. He's prompting us. Let's be a conduit for the Spirit's work. Who knows where that conversation might be? Who knows what God is putting you in a position for? He says, I want you to see the power of the Holy Spirit's work. Be a conduit. And then he says, with complete assurance in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction. I love that. The word was received by the Thessalonians and it became their conviction. There came their conviction, and we see this conviction come out in their life. You know what? Convictions are really seen when it changes our actions. When it starts changing what we do. They received the gospel. Then they saw the missionaries work. In the second half of verse 5, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Paul and his companions, as they were leading this mission there in Thessalonica, all of a sudden the city begins to rise up against them. And in fact, in Acts chapter 17, you can kind of read through the story of what happens. They have to sneak Paul out the city. They sneak him out of the city because of the persecution is getting so bad. And yet the people here in Thessalonica, they see this happening. They understand when people are trying to attack Paul and say, you know what, he's not really the truth. He's just one of those hired hand type preachers type things. The people, he can say, you know what? You know what we went through. You know how we were there for you. You know the work that we applied to it. This is where the actions make the conviction visible. We receive the word and allow it to become our conviction. And they saw the gospel ministry in action. Paul would go on to talk about it in chapter 2. He'd say, you know what, we were like a nursing mother to you. We were gentle, we were kind. So being affectionately desirous of you, not willing the gospel come to you in word only, but also we gave you our own souls because you were dear to us. This was acted out before them and they received this word. The message has to be received before it goes out. And that means that we must live out the message that we believe. We live out the message we believe. You know, our actions tell the story. Our actions tell who is our authority. Because if what we commit to and what we give to and what we value is seen in our actions, and this morning we are going to find out that through our lives lived, and we're going to see what is happening with our convictions when we look at the actions of those around us. Is Scripture our authority? Then we will make the efforts to obey it. If God is of value, we will make the efforts to commit. And we see this in the Thessalonians. There was a point of value in what they received in the gospel, so much so that it lived out in their convictions. They received the word. And then they began to allow that to change them. Before we sound it out, it has to change us in here. It has to get a hold of our hearts. They received the word. Secondly, repeat the word. Repeat the word. In verse 6, we now see the visible actions that come. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So we need not say anything. Here we see now the word getting out. We see what is happening with their lives. The message has changed them. Their lives are changing, and they are now allowing it to get out. And these are the things that they did. This is what they became. These are the disciplines that were a part of their life that allowed the word to go forth. Notice these things they became. They became first imitators in verse 6. And you became imitators. I love the Greek word for this, mimete. It's where we get the idea of mimicking. All right, and to mimic. It's fun, you know, watching our kids as they grow up and they try to mimic the different things that we do. You know, we were trying to get Finley to blink the other day, and just watching him trying to mimic us blinking or winking at him, You know, we'll wink one eye and he's sitting there going, you know, trying to blink both eyes. We love it when we watch our kids try to mimic us sometimes. And I learned that lesson when Hayden was young, as we were watching the Cowboy game one day, and the call came on the screen that I didn't like, right, Miss Robin, and, you know, I was a little upset, and Hayden kind of caught on to that, and he said the stupid word that I said, and we were trying to teach him to say stupid. We didn't want him to say stupid, but yet Daddy did it right in front of him, so he mimicked it as well. You know, imitating is an opportunity for us to begin to copy, to imitate those that are examples. And here Paul is saying, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. You received the word and you imitated it. They were imitating the apostles, that ones that had received the word in much affliction. Because he says, you received the word in much affliction, and all this persecution and all this that's going on, you received the word, it changed you, and you became imitators of us, and you allowed it to continue on. You allowed it to continue to grow. They were in the midst of all this persecution, social, personal. Listen, this was rising up from their own people. In Thessalonica, their own people were attacking them. Their own people were accusing them. Their own country seemed like it was turning against them, right? But yet in the midst of that much affliction, they stuck with the word. They received it and they became imitators. They were imitating the biblical pattern of gospel sharers. You know, sometimes I'm afraid we try to get too cute. We try to get too original. We try to get too new in things when we just need to imitate the biblical pattern. When we just need to do what God has designed for us. When we just need to make it about making disciples and baptizing them and teaching them. We don't need all this new stuff. We need the original thing that God told us in the beginning. This is what you ought to do. And let's imitate and mimic what He has designed for us. They were imitators, and then they exampled it in verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The word here is tupos. It means a type. It's a model. It's something that makes an impression. That makes an impression. We need to be that example, that one that presses an image on somebody. Are you the type that makes impressions on people? Now, you could take that a couple different ways. Don't be making impressions with your fist, all right? That's not the right way. Make an impression with your life. Are you pressing your life, your grace, the gospel message through your life onto somebody else? Or are they getting a different impression from you? Are they getting a different stance? They became models. And notice to where? All of Macedonia and Achaia. Understand that this was an area covering hundreds of miles. And you know what? They did all of this without Facebook and Twitter. They made impressions all over this large area, this large direction. And it was sounding forth. It was the talk to the town. Do you know what's going on over there in Thessalonica? You got to see this group of people that are growing up. You know what's happening over there? And it was a talk throughout all the area. They were an example. They were making an impression. All over to big cities like Philippi, Corinth, Athens, Berea. In fact, all the persecution that was happening in Thessalonica would follow Paul and them to Berea. And they would start up riots and different things. Wouldn't it be nice to cause commotion in other places as well? Making an impression for Jesus Christ. This is what we ought to see in our churches today, making an example so that it goes forth into the areas surrounding us. But then it was also radiating. Verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. You know, and here's the phrase, it has sounded forth from you. This word means to sound forth. It means to blast out like a trumpet. To really just let it go. It carries the idea of ringing out like ripples on the water when you throw a rock and you watch the ripples go forth. It's kind of like sound waves and how it reverberates. and it moves through. He says, this has gone forth from you. This has sounded from your life. It has gone forth. Paul was hearing reports about the Thessalonians all over the place. And this is emphasizing the fact that what was happening to the Thessalonians in their faith was spreading out. They were making the impression, and it was spreading out. You know, if you think about this, the Thessalonians, they were experiencing a life-changing faith that not only impacted their life, but it was making an impression on all those around us. And Thessalonica was in a very strategic place. It was on the Ignatian Way. It was a high-traveled road, a lot of trade, a lot of merchants. It was a big area. And so this word was being spread for them, and they were infecting a lot of people with what was going on in their lives. And you know, when I think about that and I think about us, think about our location and the opportunity that we have to make an impact all around us. We are right in between Crandall, Forney, and Terrell, right here in this nice little triangle. We're right in the middle of incredible growth that's happening. You look at the building that's happening. You look at the proposals in Forney and the subdivisions that are coming in Forney. You look at the areas in Terrell that are growing up and what's being developed in Terrell. And then you look at areas in Crandall, like in Heartland. You understand the growth that is continuing to happen. If you haven't driven down 741 to see how quickly they're putting up houses over there, there's about 1,700 homes up right now, and there's 5,300 more to be built. Think about the strategic location in which we have. What kind of impression is Talty Baptist Church going to have in this area? What's going to sound forth from us? You know, it's good to go there every once in a while. But you know what? Lives are changing. People are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. People are growing up. They're being taught. And you know what? They keep talking to me about it. They keep telling me about Jesus. There must be something happening in their life. You know what? I see a difference. I mean, you know what? Those people are going through tough times. I mean, hard things. But yet, they're committed. Yet, Jesus is still on their lips. And they're still talking about Him. What kind of impression are we going to make in this strategic location? What's going to sound forth? What are we going to repeat? And then we see they revealed the word. In verses 9 and 10, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is where we see the word in action. Paul is telling them, listen, you didn't have to tell us about this. We've been hearing about it. The word has been revealed. You know, I love the words of Proverbs 27:2. He says, let another praise you and not your own mouth. And here's what's happening is this is going forth and Paul is beginning to hear. Hey, Paul, have you ever heard of this church in Thessalonica? Man, they're doing incredible things. There's something happening there. God's moving in that midst. And there is something happening. The word's being revealed back. Can you imagine Paul and how much he is praising the Lord for that? To be out there, all that work that he's done, and all of a sudden he is getting this organic word back from people. Hey, you gotta understand, look what's happening at this place. You got to hear about this place in Thessalonica. He is saying, you didn't have to tell us. This report is coming back, and it's talking about your transformation. Because he says how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And we talked about this. This is that gospel transformation that you turn from the idols and you turn to God. That this repentance turns us away from that which we should be or we were walking in to that which we should walk in and through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm seeing how you've turned away from this. You know what? We ought to be the church that has the mentality, a church that is filled with people that are seen and known for turning away from that which they should turn away from and turning to that which they should turn to instead of turning back whenever things get tough. There was a transformation. They had turned from idols and they were serving the living and true God. Their actions were backing up what was in their heart. our conversion should lead us to repentance, should change. And these actions were evident what was happening. And then we see their purpose in verse 10, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is what was keeping them motivated. They were motivated by the end. They were doing the work with the end in sight. You know, you ever have that project that you're working on? You're like, I don't think this is ever going to get finished. I don't think this is ever going to get done. You know, I've been working on this thing for ages. When are we ever going to get this finished? You know what? When they began to work, there was the end in mind of, you know what? We're doing this because someday Jesus Christ is coming back. Do you believe that? Or is it just a hope? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Then shouldn't it affect how we live each and every day? You know, for years people have tried to pinpoint the actual time. 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 1988. I think they were a little off. The bestseller the next year, 89 reasons Jesus is coming back in 1989. People have tried for years to figure out when Jesus is coming back. But how would your life change if you knew He's coming back tomorrow? You see, that's working with the end in sight. We make disciples. We are on this mission as though Jesus is coming back to take us with us. And who do you know that you want to go with us? Who do you know that needs the transformation of the gospel, that needs it sounded out from your life so that they can go as well? You see, folks, the gospel is too great to hide. And we ought to live motivated with that end in sight. You see, this is how the Thessalonians were raising the frequency. They had received the word. They were repeating the word through their mouth, through their actions. It was visible. Their convictions were visible. And then we see that they were revealing the word, and it was evident, and Paul was getting the reports back of what was happening. You see, God has allowed us to be a part of spreading something incredible. But before that happens, this needs to be changing this so that we live each and every day with this end and this mentality on us, that we might be able then to show it to others that are around us, that we might be able to make that impression, that we might be that example, that type for them to see. We must allow it to grip us so that we can act upon that word. We need to know who God is. We need to know the love that He's had for us, so that we can grow in that love, and we can grow in love for God, which will naturally produce a love for others, so that we will show God's love to somebody else. That's the mission. You know, we're talking about sound frequencies and sound waves. You know, sounding, it is emitted from a stationary object. And if you look at a stationary object, you know, it's kind of like this diagram here. You know, you're in the middle and you are stationary. Sound kind of just spreads out with the same frequency in all directions, because sound is traveling at the same rate. So people in front of us, people in behind us, it's all moving at the same direction, same time frame. And you see the circles there, they're even. It's happening every 2 seconds or whatever, the sound's going out. And as we talk about this idea of raising the frequency, I don't want you to think about being stationary. See, there's something called the Doppler effect. And the Doppler effect is us moving. If we want to raise the frequency, folks, it's not about changing the sound. Because you know what? Our sound doesn't change. Our sound is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we are to sound out. That's our message. And that transformation through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that doesn't change. That is our transforming power. That's what we are to sound out. So if we're going to raise the frequency, it's not about changing the sound. It's not about trying to tweak it to make it different. It's about us moving to the people that need it. Because you see in the Doppler effect there, as the person emitting the sound moves towards an object, what happens to the frequency? It gets shorter, because as the sound goes forward, the next time they hear it, the person's closer. They're closer, and they keep moving forward, so the frequency gets shorter and shorter. This is what you hear when you hear sirens, right? Because as the car is coming for you, as the sirens are coming closer, you know, you have that high pitch, that one pitch. But then as they go past you, what happens? The pitch changes. Now, did it change on the siren? No. Where does the change come from? The change comes from the frequency. That it's taken longer now for that sound to get to you because the object's moving away from you. Sadly, I don't want to see us go that direction, where people are hearing less of the gospel from us, and the space is getting bigger because we're moving away from them, and we're becoming our own little clique, versus let's go towards them. Let's go towards those that need the gospel. Let's go towards those that need to know what Jesus Christ has done. Let's raise the frequency of bringing the gospel to the lost so that they might see the transformation of Jesus Christ, so that they might be able to walk with Him, and so that they might become a type, that they might become an example, and they might reproduce into somebody else as well. How are we moving towards the lost and sounding out the gospel for Jesus Christ? We have an opportunity not to stay stationary, but to move and to go towards the lost. That's our mission. Go make disciples. How are we going to sound that out? Shall we stand? This morning, as we come to our time of response, I just ask that as God's speaking to your heart today, that this is an opportunity for us to move. It's an opportunity for us to respond to it. And right there where you're at, I just pray that you would just begin asking God, who do I need to move towards? I want to ask you, how are you letting the gospel message change you? What's your authority? Are you going to obey and follow Scripture, or something else directing you? Do you need to refocus and redirect today? And as we come to this opportunity, as we are allowing God to move us and change us, who can we go and share the gospel with? Who can we allow this to be sounded out to? Taking an opportunity to talk with them, taking an opportunity to share with them, but not only that, to live out and to go farther and to do more so that we can reach people for the sake of the gospel. How are we going to sound it out? As we come to this invitation time, the altar is going to be open. I'm going to be down front. Can I ask you, don't just allow it to be normal, but if God's moving in your heart, let's respond to Him. And let's see what God can do with those that are willing to allow the Word to move them. I'm telling you, Father, Lord, I just pray today, God, that You would move in a mighty way amongst us. Help us, Lord, to go towards the lost. Help us, Lord, to sound out Your gospel. Let it change us. And God, I pray that it be done through Your Spirit's power. Lord, move now as only You can. Direct us the way that You would have us to go. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.